Welcome, guys. Keller and Richard, why don't you briefly introduce yourselves?
I'm Keller Smith, and I'm a program manager on the SharePoint search team.
Okay.
My name's Richard Riley. I'm a technical product manager on the SharePoint search team.
Okay, great. So we are here to talk about Search Server 2008. I'm not going to assume a whole lot of familiarity with the subject here, so I actually want to kind of step back and ask you to kind of review the various incarnations of search servers that have existed throughout really the history of the Microsoft product line. I mean, I've been familiar with a number of them, going back to the content indexer in, I think, NT4. And, you know, we move forward. And there's really, a number of different search engines, which I imagine have a certain amount of common DNA and have also diverged in various ways.
This is Keller. I'm not sure if I can give the complete picture. Richard, do you know all the way back to Site Server? I can give, from 2003 on.
Yeah, sure. As far as I know, the technology that was built into Index Server way back in the NT4 option pack has kind of grown and diversified into various products, including things like desktop search and SharePoint. Ever since Index Server was shipped, that code base has kind of evolved.
Yeah.
It's been in every version of SharePoint. Actually, wait a minute. Keller, is that correct? Is
it has been in mostly SharePoint, yes, though it has, shown up in search over SQL as well as search in Windows Desktop Search and, other applications like that. Though the primary purpose, I think, has always been SharePoint, yes.
Yeah, but there's a fair amount of common DNA to the desktop search in Vista.
Right. Yeah. They have split apart now, but yes, the underlying, as you say, the common DNA is still there.
Okay. In terms of differentiating this offering from its immediate predecessors, what would you call out as the key points?
If you skip back to SharePoint Server 2007, there's a whole suite of search service or search functionality in that. And we found that customers wanted to use and leverage that search functionality without buying the whole SharePoint product.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was kind of split off the most of the search features into a product called Microsoft Office SharePoint Server for Search. And that product people could just buy, and they could just use the search features alone, standalone, without the full kind of MOS functionality.
Okay.
Now, what Search Server is a kind of an evolution of Microsoft Office SharePoint Server for Search.
Okay.
Is the next version of that. So you can imagine it's a rebranded V2 of MOS for Search.
So review what were the domains over which the SharePoint Server for Search could operate. In other words, things it could connect to, things it could crawl, things it could search.
In MOS 2007, Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007, you could connect to pretty much anything that you could crawl, which you could crawl things out of box. You could crawl SharePoint as well as many other different types of content sources, which we had protocol handlers set up for.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go to the effort of writing your own protocol handler or your own business data catalog, BDC connection. However, if you couldn't find a way to index it yourself, there was no real way to connect to the data.
And
okay.
Actually, we also indexed Lotus Notes out of the box as well.
Oh, it did notes as well?
Yep.
Okay. But you were saying that it was not easily extensible.
Right. Creating a protocol handler is a very difficult task. Creating a BDC connection is slightly easier, though that also has many challenges involved. So there's no simple way to connect to another source. That's accurate.
Okay. And how does that change?
So with federation, it allows you to fundamentally change the way in which you can create a connection to another source. So instead of indexing the content, you're simply creating a connection at query time and using a search engine that already exists.
Mm-hmm.
So if you issue a search, let's say you do a search for SharePoint, normally that search would go against your own index and return results back. It will still do that, but in addition, we'll send that query out to any federated location that matches the query, and that search engine will return results back in an XML format that we can display and render.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've introduced the term federation here, which is a key feature of what you're doing here, and I was fascinated to discover that you are using the open search mechanisms and formats to accomplish this. My experience with OpenSearch is I did an implementation of it, right when it was announced, actually, for Amazon A9. At the time, I was doing a makeover of the InfoWorld search service and had already set it up so that there was an RSS feed for any particular search. So it was really trivial to just add in the OpenSearch extensions and marry those things up with A9. So I was actually able to go to A9 and add in the InfoWorld engine and, you know, lo and behold, search the web plus search my own stuff at InfoWorld. I haven't actually looked closely at how that has evolved since then. This was a couple of years ago, but is that still a reasonable representation of how it works?
Yeah. Basically, anything that has an RSS feed, you can connect to. And specifically, we're looking for things that have a RSS feed that can be searchable. So mm-hmm. in other words, the results of the RSS feed depend upon some dynamic element like a query.
Yeah, like it's a query that you know emits RSS as one of its outputs.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. But as soon as you get that, it takes about 5 minutes to set up one of these connections. It's very simple and easy. And you just take the URL from your RSS feed and put it into the federation system. You create what's called a federated location that you can issue that query off to. And then the SharePoint system will issue that query every time someone queries within SharePoint.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Now, actually, the part of this that people may be more familiar with, I'm sure people are more familiar with, is the piece of OpenSearch, which is the client piece that you see operating from inside of the dropdown in your browser. You know, any of these engines that you add in, there's behind that an OpenSearch description, which is basically a little packet of XML that says when you want to go to this search source, you go to this URL, and here's the template, you know, for the query. And so that must be being used also by Search Server in its aggregation of these sources, right?
This is Richard. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the kind of the easy way to think about it is that SharePoint is really behaving as a client.
Yes.
Just as IE is.
Yeah.
So when you go and create a new federated location, what you're actually creating is a one of these OpenSearch description documents.
Mm-hmm.
So behind the scenes, when you actually plug in all of the details to tell Search Server how to send a query to wherever you're sending it to and how to render the results, you can export that configuration, and it's actually exported as a .fld file, a federated location definition.
Yeah.
Now, if you actually open that up in Notepad or in IE as XML, it just looks like an OpenSearch description document, but with a few extra schema changes, or with a few schema changes, so that we can include things like the triggers that we need that SharePoint uses to figure out when to send a query to that location,
mm-hmm.
like the XSL that it uses to render the results, that's also
mm-hmm.
Exported. So we actually extend the OpenSearch schema somewhat
right.
To make it more useful to SharePoint.
So now, obviously, when you get into this game of shipping queries off to multiple federated sources, you run into issues of sequencing and latency. So how do you advise people to think about that issue?
Sure. Well, the creation of the federated locations, it kind of happens at one layer for kind of the higher level administrator for the organization who's setting up these connections to other sources. And then the point at which you decide how they should render in the UI is when you're creating your own SharePoint site and you're looking at the federated locations that your administrator has created,
mm-hmm.
you can kind of pick and choose. And in the process of adding them to SharePoint web parts for these federated locations, you can choose whether you want them to load synchronously with the SharePoint core results web part
okay.
or asynchronously.
Okay.
So if they load synchronously, you know, everything will wait until we get the results back from everything that's set up to load synchronously. If it's async, everything that's loaded synchronously will be loaded first, and then the queries will be sent off to each asynchronous web part.
And you'll use AJAX to kind of weave them in as they arrive?
Correct.
Okay. And in terms of options for weaving these results together and organizing them, there can be a variety of ways in which you'd like to do that. Where is the control for doing that?
So each federated location that you configure within the administration UI is kind of hooked up to a federation results web part.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two types of federation results web part. There's one called federation results. There's one called federation top results.
Okay.
And the federation results web part is kind of a one-to-one mapping between a location and a web part that renders the results.
Okay.
If actually, as a side note, if the location is actually triggered but returns zero results, then the web part doesn't actually render. So you don't get the screen, you know, cluttered up with space where web parts should be that don't have any results.
Okay.
So you kind of you put the page into edit mode in in the results page, and then you just select the location that you want hooked up to that web part. You hit OK, and then that's configured. It will render results if it's triggered, and the location returns results. And then there's another web part, this top answer results web part, that you can connect multiple different locations to, up to 10. And what will happen is Search Server will query each one of the locations in order, and the first one of those locations that returns a set of results, we then return the top kind of X. You can configure how many, say the top one result, from the first location to return a set of results.
Okay. Now, one of the sources can be SQL Server. And in that case, are you using this mechanism still?
We are using this mechanism, although when you connect to any type of repository that doesn't natively have an RSS feed, mm-hmm. you have to create a piece in the middle to expose the results in an RSS feed.
Right.
So once you build a very simple connector, basically just a lightweight ASPX page that has some code to expose that SQL as an RSS feed, then you can connect to SQL in the same manner.
Okay. So it's on you to do that, though? It's on the customer to do that?
Well, we do have a online federation gallery where we and partners and customers can share these federated connectors as soon as they build them. So
okay.
It is somewhat on you to build that, but as soon as that is already built, you can upload it there and share it with everyone else to be able to use it. Specifically with the case of SQL, we plan to publish an article that explains in detail how to create one of these lightweight connectors.
Okay. Now, in the case of SQL, or actually also, I suppose, in the case of a SharePoint repository where there are structured XML documents stored, you know, Office 2007 docs can be highly structured now. So there's the possibility of structured search. Is there a way to express that through this mechanism to say, you know, I'm not just looking for this word, but I'm looking for this word in this context?
I could ask that question in a different way.
You know, let's say I'm storing a bunch of incident reports. Say they're Word documents, right? And those Word documents have a structure. And the structure is that the report has a section 1, 2, 3, and inside of section 1, there is a set of known things, right? So it has an XML schema associated with it, right? You know, so you could run an XPath in SQL Server, right? Or just in any XML context, you could run an XPath query, for example, that would say, you know, I'm looking for occurrences of this within the second element of section 1.
No, I mean, what we do when we index content, we'll break the document apart and we'll extract the text. So we'll kind of throw away the formatting and that kind of stuff, and we'll just take the text. So you would, if you had a structured document, you will be able to search for the, you know, the content of that document, but you won't be able to do, as you say, the kind of an XPath directly into a specific part of that document.
Although, I mean, SQL Server could do it, or other mechanisms could do it, but there wouldn't be a way to federate that, because this is basically a full-text search environment, not a structured search environment.
Well, I mean, there could be. The connectors that Keller was talking about, they're basically up to you to write the code that goes into that
yeah.
connector.
Yeah.
If you wanted to take the query and then turn that into an XPath query that ran against repository X and returned a set of results as RSS, then, yeah, that's entirely possible. The code that goes into that connector is your code or the code, you know, you purchase from a partner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, in fact, then you could do it, right? You simply, in the URI template, right, whatever goes in between the curly braces could be whatever you care to support on the other end, and it just becomes a private mechanism between those two endpoints.
Right, yeah. If you could create code that does it on your own, all you have to do then is surface an RSS feed that exposes that. One example that I have of, you know, kind of a similar creative way that you can use these connectors is you could even build a translation connector that takes the query, translates it to a different language, mm-hmm. searches over possibly even SharePoint again in that language, and then returns results back
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. What I really like about this is that the act of creating an open search RSS feed on top of a source is just a useful thing to do in and of itself, right? I mean, there can be other interesting ways to use those in addition to integrating with Search Server. It's just a useful thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we actually use that technology in SharePoint Search, and also in Search Server Search. You can get an RSS feed of any result set
mm-hmm.
to those products.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great for, you know, alerting. You can set up a fairly restricted search query term.
Yeah.
Terms, and then your RSS reader will, you know, will get new items whenever that query changes.
So what are the kinds of sources that you've seen in the early going people hooking into this thing?
Some of the basic ones that we've created just on our own have been connections to common sources like Flickr, and creating connections to things like Virtual Earth and any of your news sites or your common RSS feeds out there that you'd want to subscribe to and get some information on, MSDN and TechNet that you might be interested to get results from as well, depending on what type of company you have, weather or stocks. We've kind of created some of the basic common ones. The more complicated connectors, though, is some of what other partners have been working on.
So would you say that the major interest is in bringing in sources from the web as opposed to bringing in kind of funky internal sources within the enterprise?
No, not necessarily. I think that the primary focus here is definitely within the enterprise, although it's difficult to create sources that typically your sources within an enterprise are going to be targeted towards something that's valuable to that company in particular, or possibly to that industry. So it's difficult to predict exactly what they value there without creating one-off connectors to each different content source, which is kind of what the partners are focusing on a little bit more. It's, you know, more ubiquitous to create sample connectors to web sources, since those usually already have RSS feeds.
Yeah.
So that's typically what we use when we're talking about examples of how you could connect. But I think that the most valuable connections will be to the vital enterprise data that they can't index otherwise.
Yeah. And again, the discipline of manifesting RSS feeds out of these things is just in and of itself useful, and we'll find other applications in addition to this one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is great. Was there any debate about this? I mean, coming to the decision to do this with OpenSearch and in the RSS kind of loosely coupled style? Was it just an obvious, you know, this is a slam dunk, let's just go do it?
Right. Well, connecting to other sources through Federation, you know, there's many different ways that you can connect to other sources. We could have, you know, made it much more simpler to index content. However, we felt that there was definitely a need to federate out in a way that is very lightweight like this. And
yeah.
So being able to make a quick connection was very important. In terms of the selection of the schema, OpenSearch already had a schema that was relatively well adopted within the industry, and we felt that it served our needs as a base schema. We did need to extend it, as we've mentioned, but it served a great starting point as a place to start out with. So we went ahead and used that. There wasn't much debate on the use of OpenSearch.
I think that's great. You know, it's been, I think, a somewhat underappreciated and underutilized thing. And so I'm glad to see you guys putting some weight behind it. I think that's great. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention in the context of this call?
One of the things that I'd like to mention is just the richness in which you can bring data back from a repository. So you might have a repository that's valuable to your enterprise SQL or some other service. It may even just be a service that exposes only an OM. And that service may have a way to search, like, within that application. Perhaps you have, you know, some application that searches over specific documents, legal documents or something, for example, or HR documents.
Yeah.
And that interface may not suit all of your needs, but it just may be what comes with the application. If you have an OM or a web service or some way to get at that to expose your own RSS feed, you can then bring back all kinds of data and format it in whatever way you want. We allow you to customize the XSL, and so this allows you to say which types of metadata you want to bring back. So long as you can make a connector that gets all of this data from the source, you can return it back and format it in whatever way you want. So you can bring back images or even videos that can play within SharePoint. So this adds just a great level of richness. So even if you have a way to get at this a certain type of data within your enterprise, this may provide just a much better application and way to access that data, not to mention the fact that it is federated in all in one place with your SharePoint results.
So you mentioned metadata, and I did neglect to ask, what are the ways in which you can express metadata coming back from these sources and the ways in which you can use that metadata to control the results display?
Right. Well, when you create the federated location definition file, one of the things that you can specify, you can either choose to use our defaults for metadata and XSL, in which case we will use the standard OpenSearch title, description, and URL metadata.
Okay.
And we'll render that in just kind of a standard appearance. However, if you have specific metadata from a repository that you want to take advantage of, mm-hmm. you can override those defaults and specify whatever type of metadata you'd like to return back, and then utilize that in your own custom XSL if you want.
Oh, that's really handy. So this is a big aspect to the customization of OpenSearch that you've done.
Definitely. And it totally changes the face of what your SharePoint end-user results page can look like.
Yeah.
Typically, you know, you're kind of restricted to the sort of plain, out-of-the-box look and feel. You can customize core results, but, you know, you can't do too much without heavy, heavy customization work. This allows you to very quickly and easily bring in things like images and, you know, video and all kinds of things that would just really help your users.
Well, this sounds excellent. I'm glad to know that you're doing things this way. It's simple, it's open, it's reusable in a variety of ways. I just like it.
There's actually one other thing we haven't spoken about, but Search Server Express is actually free.
Well, yeah, right. I meant to mention that.
So all of this functionality is yours for free. You can just go download the software from Microsoft.com/enterprise search. And
how far can you go with the free version?
If you can install the Express version with either SQL Express or SQL Server, and if you install it with SQL Express, SQL Express has a database size limit of 4 gigabytes.
Okay.
So we've seen that with SQL Express, you can run up to kind of 400,000 to 500,000 documents.
Okay.
Before you hit that 4 gig limit.
Okay.
If you install with SQL Server, then you can run up to millions of documents.
Okay. And in terms of other sources that you federate to, is there going to be a cap on that in the free version?
Nope. There's no difference between the free version and the version you pay for with respect to federation.
Yeah. The only differences between the free version and the licensed version is with the free version, with the Express version, you're limited to installing all of the kind of search services onto a single server. And with the licensed version, you can actually split the roles. So the query server role, the indexer role, that kind of thing, you can split onto dedicated hardware. So you kind of get greater scale and fault tolerance with the licensed version. But from a feature perspective, they're identical.
Yeah. So if your needs and your company can be handled by one server, then you can party with the free version as much as you want. It has everything that you would have otherwise.
How's it going?
It's going really well.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
We've had some great feedback from both customers that have downloaded and installed the product, and from the press and the analyst community. It's been very positive.
Yeah, definitely. It's very exciting to see how people are starting to, you know, cue into the possibilities here of what they can do with Federation. Those who have had, you know, kind of early access and taking a look at the beta and everything, and we're starting to see some very interesting integration.
And if people were curious to find out, you know, kind of follow those stories, are you guys or others in the team blogging about this stuff?
Yeah, we actually have an enterprise search blog on blogs.msdn.com/enterprise search.
Okay. Well, sounds really good, guys. I think
I might just mention the one aspect that we've made these extensions specifically for our use within SharePoint, though they can be applicable to really any enterprise. So these extensions that we've made to OpenSearch hopefully will make a contribution back to the community as well in terms of their usefulness for any enterprise application. So
thank you for mentioning that. In fact, I was going to ask about if those things are going to be proposed back into the standard and how that's going to work.
Yeah, it's unsure whether they will be actually integrated back into the official OpenSearch standard. We will have to try and work with OpenSearch and see what can be possible there.
Yeah.
But at the very least, they are a very useful extension to be referenced in its own right for enterprises.
Agreed. And, well, really, you know, anyone who's using OpenSearch in any context would be interested in the ability to express metadata coming in and out, right? I mean, that's pretty basic and pretty important. So,
right.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, good deal. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right.